6:30, the film show welcomes artists and organizers from the All-In Social Justice Film Series and the Cascade Festival of African Films, plus a new look at the micro-budget feature film Shut Up, Anthony. That's all coming up right after Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell with your weekly counter-propaganda left opinion program, and that is coming right up here on The Boo.
You, I'm Kurt Cobain.
Yay.
When did you first hear punk rock?
You know, I wanted to hear punk rock forever. Of course, they didn't have it in our record shop in Aberdeen. Finally, Buzz Osborne made me a couple compilation tapes, and I was completely blown away. I would lip sync to those tapes, and I wore them out, and I play them every day. You know, it's the greatest thing. It expressed the way I felt socially and politically. And it was the anger that I felt, the alienation.
Be sure to tune in this Thursday, February 23rd, just before midnight, as we celebrate what would have been Kurt Cobain's 50th birthday. We'll be exploring all the music from each of the albums on his top 50 list. That's this Thursday, right before midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I want to talk climate change today. I want to take your calls. And wasn't really intending to start off with transgender news, but Trump administration trumped that. And so there's an article in thedailybeast.com by Samantha Allen saying that on January 31st, the White House released a statement claiming that President Donald Trump is respectful and supportive of LGBTQ rights. Apparently the T was silent. She writes, this evening, after days of speculation sparked by a Monday evening Washington Blade report and further fueled by a Tuesday statement from Press Secretary Sean Spicer that the president considers the ongoing bathroom debate to be a states' rights issue. The Departments of Education and Justice issued a joint letter rescinding the Obama administration's 2016 guidance on transgender students. Now, speaking for myself, for those longtime lefties, and for anyone who follows how the United States profits from its genocidal attitude towards people of color, states' rights issues is a favorite conservative phrase, meaning we're going to look the other way while the states oppress these people. And the article continues from dailybeast.com. This letter concludes that in this context, there must be due regard for the primary role of the states and local school districts in establishing educational policy. The Obama administration's previous guidance, sent to schools by Departments of Education and Justice last May as a Dear Colleague letter, made it clear the federal government considered restrictions on transgender students' access to restrooms and locker rooms to be in violation of Title IX's 1972 ban on sex discrimination in public education. With that guidance now officially rescinded, Title IX is still the law of the land, but President Trump, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos have now signaled their divergence from the interpretation held by the Obama administration and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that it clearly prohibits discrimination against transgender students. The new joint letter claims that the Obama administration's guidance did not contain extensive legal analysis or explain how the position is consistent with the express language of Title IX, nor did they undergo any formal public process, which is just a strange thing to say since the whole thing was a public process. But what this means concretely is that individual states and schools could still find themselves on the receiving end of Title IX lawsuits, but the new Trump administration letter sends the message that states and schools can require transgender students to use bathrooms corresponding to their birth assigned gender without necessarily being penalized by the Justice Department Civil Rights Division or immediately risking the loss of federal funding. In other words, the federal government has effectively declared open season on transgender kids. And the many states that sued the Obama administration over the 2016 guidance could follow suit. And speaking for myself again, I will say, of course, they will follow suit. And this is about bullying. And demagogues such as Trump and those who follow him and those who aggress against transgender people in Texas and so many other states will have a field day with this. And it'll trickle down to the bullies in the elementary, junior high, and high schools. And people will get beaten, of course. Human Rights Campaign President Chad Griffin in a statement asked what could possibly motivate a blind and cruel attack on young children like this. Answer that, will you? So you're listening to Press Watch. I am Teresa Mitchell. This is KBOO Portland. I am transgender. And I transitioned openly, actually pretty much on the air in 2001. And I'm going to do a special thing today. I'm going to give you a pass. I've done this before. Maybe you've got questions that you'd like to ask a transgender person. I can't speak for all transgender people, of course, but I do have transgender experience. My flavor would be that I'm white, so I get to live this long. I'm born in 1958, and so I did not transition in Texas, nor did I fully understand what the heck I was. But maybe you've got questions that you'd like to ask a transgender person that you would feel a little squidgy about doing in person, things that you just don't feel are quite answered or that you think might be a little bit un-PC. I'll give you a pass on this, unless you're just being actively hostile. I'll call you out on it. But if you want to know something about what the heck is going on with transgender people, well, you can call. The number to call, 503-231-8187. In the meantime, we have all kinds of news. I'm going to let Radio Havana do the first three items. You can find Radio Havana on the web, rhc.cu. That's easiest for most of you. It's also at 9820 and 6000 on the shortwave in English. Once again, as I've said over the many decades I've been doing this show, if you want to hear Radio Havana and you get a shortwave, all you're going to hear is static until you run a line out the window. From Radio Havana, Cuba, activists scaled the Statue of Liberty in New York City and unfurled a red and white and blue refugees welcome banner on Tuesday, just hours after the Department of Homeland Security unveiled its plan to deport undocumented immigrants across the U.S. The banner, which measured 3 by 20 feet in length, was unrolled and dangled from the statue's observation deck. And an activist group called Alt Lady Liberty claimed responsibility for the banner. Really got some social media coverage. And more than 200 protesters arrested during the inauguration of U.S. President Trump have been indicted on felony rioting charges. A federal grand jury in Washington, D.C. indicted a total of 20 people Tuesday. Excuse me, I think it might be 200 people. 200 people in connection with the January 20th demonstrations, which drew thousands of protesters to Washington as Trump was being sworn in. The prosecutors alleged that those indicted had used black bloc tactics in causing violence and attempting to disguise their identities by covering their faces. According to the indictment, some protesters were armed with hammers, crowbars, rocks, flares, firecrackers, and other explosive devices. And since nothing exploded there, that's quite a claim. Also from Radio Havana, Cuba, Israeli military aircraft have reportedly carried out an overnight airstrike against army positions in the strategic and mountainous Kalamun region in Syria, which lies north of the capital, Damascus, along the border with neighboring Lebanon. A Syrian military source said an Israeli fighter jet crossed into Syria's airspace around 3 a.m. local time. Source added that the airstrike hit Jardinala area of Kulamon, located 330 kilometers, 205 miles north of Damascus. The Lebanese and Arabic language online newspaper Al Nashra later reported that a convoy transporting weapons was the target. No injuries were reported. And so that's from Radio Havana, Cuba, and Israel is attacking Syria. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Now, to the initially intended topic of the day, Antarctica is undergoing an extraordinary melt. This is from Huffington Post. Like a snowball released from the top of the mountain, gaining momentum as it descends, Earth's record-breaking heat is melting Antarctica at a stunning rate. The area of sea ice surrounding Antarctica is the lowest since the inception of continuous record-keeping began in 1979, and it's still tumbling. Last year, all signs were pointing towards this shattering event. And the author writes, in May 2016, the massive West Antarctic ice sheet began tearing apart, and his colleagues sounded the alarm that the melting could destabilize enormous areas of ice, resulting in global sea rise of more than 10 feet. NASA's Dr. Eric Rigneaux said, "We present observational evidence that a large sector of the West Antarctic ice sheet has gone into irreversible retreat." Eminent climate scientist Dr. James Hansen, former director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, has spent his entire career tracking the effects of climate-altering carbon dioxide released from burning subsidized fossil fuels. In the lead-up to the Paris Climate Agreement, Hansen warned, "It's crazy to think 2 degrees centigrade is a safe limit." Man-made heat infused into the oceans from heat-trapping fossil fuels has doubled since 1997. That's the equivalent energy of detonating one atomic Hiroshima-style bomb every second for 75 straight years. The ice sheets are losing mass faster and faster with a doubling time of about 10 years, Hansen said. If that continues, we'd get sea level rise of more than 6 feet. And speaking for myself, talking about that ice sheet coming loose and the Los Angeles-sized iceberg that's about to hit the ocean. That's already in the ocean. That by itself will not raise the ocean. And the problem is that it will accelerate the motion of the glacier, which is on land, and will raise ocean levels. The point that I'm making here is that abrupt climate change is happening. As I have often said, it's worse than you had heard, worse than was projected. And we need to do something about it, but I'm just going to give you details because I want you to understand just how far and how fast things are going. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. I'm also talking about the Trump administration's removal of protections for transgender students. And as I said, I will give you a pass if you have questions about what it is to be transgender. And Don is on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I am very curious about you personally, because when I first began attending school, I read some information, some research in one of my psychology texts, that during the time of your birth, there were a lot of individuals who were actually born hermaphrodite and then changed to be male. And I was curious, because of your year, if you were one of those and persons that they had assigned you a gender before you had fully developed.
That is not the case.
Okay.
I am actually what you would call a pseudo-hermaphrodite, but that was not evident.
Okay.
I did have difficulties in development of genitalia in puberty, but I appeared male at first, and so I was assigned male. And as far as anybody knew, except for myself, I was male.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of research that many people didn't know about, that when they had done these mass sex assignments, I remembered that there was a movement that they were talking about. So I was curious, you know, how it's been for you just coming to be who you really are as a person. And ideally, with everything that's going on right now, what average person, citizen, whatever, what can we do to support you? And how can I approach transgender individuals and not be offensive in my ignorance, really?
Well, that's
all really new to me because of how I was raised and how I realize I am, you know?
Well, that's very kind of you to ask. And yeah, I'm here to do that. And well, so back to one of the original points. Yes, in the 50s, there were chemicals available which were active against the endocrine development of fetuses, and I believe I was one of those. The patterns of my body matched those identified as the mutations, possibly epigenetic mutations of diethylstilbestrol, which is an artificial estrogen, which was available to pharmaceutical companies at the time without the cost of paying for a patent. And so it was popular for them. They could make quite a profit off it, and they did. They promoted it widely. It was supposed to stop miscarriages. It's not clear that it did. It did develop women's bodies. It had that effect, and so I imagine it appeared that it would stop miscarriages. In any event, they gave my mother a whacking dose of it, and so I have uterine tissue, and my mind is patterned, in a sense, female because of the stuff passes through the body-brain barrier. And it just created that pattern, as far as I can tell. And when I was a little kid, though, and when I was a young man, if you want to put it that way, a young closeted trans, I hadn't heard of transgenderism. I hadn't heard of this chemical. I didn't know what was happening. I assumed that I was deeply insane. And I hoped that it would go away, that I could find a way to get over it, that by acting hyper-masculine, for example, getting a motorcycle and going as fast as I could, convince myself to act differently. I had all kinds of hormone changes, which for a while made me appear to be hyper-masculine. I was extremely hairy. I was ridiculous. And then that changed. And the thing is, once your mind is patterned in a certain way, and especially in that way, patterned as the fetus is growing, there's nothing you can do about it. This pattern does not grow away, and so it does not go away.
I absolutely believe that, yes.
So,
you're a female, honey.
Yeah,
you're
essentially. Well, my body certainly wasn't. But so in 21, I decided just to embrace that, accept it, and to go to the root of truth and self-expression. And so I transitioned. I am transgender, and so here I am. And thanks for your call, and thanks for those questions.
Sure.
That's exactly what I wanted to explain. And in the case of this particular drug, it does have transgenerational effects, and I think it's possible, although I can't say scientifically. There have been studies. You can look up this drug, diethylstilbestrol. It's possible that many of the children that we now see are transgenerational effects of diethylstilbestrol, because it was a very common drug. The drug companies, Libby Pharmaceuticals particularly, promoted it as a prophylactic drug. In other words, take that just in case you get a miscarriage. So millions of women took this stuff, and they made tremendous profits.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I've learned so much. I'm super, I don't know, proud for you to be able to become who you are and be the person that you were meant to be. So I hope you have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. As I was saying, I'll give you a pass on transgender issues. I also want to talk about climate change. This is the news you're not supposed to know. So we'll see how, depending on who wants to talk about what, we'll see where this conversation goes. And Dee is on the air.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Dee.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I've been following you for years, and you were the reason, like the primary reason that I started listening to KBOO in the first place, so I just want to shoot that out there. You know, thank you very much for all the information. And also, like, when you said that you were going to have the gender reassignment, you had finally, like, gotten the victory for it, I just never heard anybody really congratulate you on that victory.
Oh, and people so did, but...
Oh, see, well, I didn't hear. Well, I can't listen every Thursday,
yeah.
You know. But I just wanted to say from me to you that congratulations on that victory. I don't have any questions. I just wanted to let you know that I'm proud of you for fighting the fight, and I think it's awesome and way to be.
Thanks. Well, you know, surgery is not for everyone, and I went back and forth on it. I knew that it would be expensive, and I really didn't have. Access to it without, you know, just sacrificing all of my finances. And so I put it off for the longest. And when I finally got, it was TriMet and Kaiser Permanente were fighting me against that. I just want to be plain about that.
Yeah, I remember hearing that part.
They really did not want to pay for that. And they came up with over the years with some interesting arguments against it. At one time, their legal team responded that transgender surgery was an sort of optional thing, like breast enhancement.
Well, that's just retarded. Okay, sorry.
Well, we don't want to put down.
I don't want to be ableist. I try to correct myself.
Okay. Well, yeah, they weren't thinking that through, I don't think. And so it was back. I mean, most of the resistance that I got was just silence. They had the power. They weren't being pushed in that direction. And then towards the end of the Obama administration, there was the decisions around Title IX and the decision that a woman's a woman's a woman, and someone needs surgery, she should be able to get it, and or the other way.
I agree.
A man's a man. And so I think that and the fact that my lawyer intimated that we were ready to go to courts again kind of pushed them over to the other side, and they did pay for the operation, which was mighty expensive.
I bet it was.
It was many tens of thousands.
You sound healthy and happy, and so that's what I want for every person. And so I'm just glad that you finally got what you needed.
Thanks. Yeah. On the other side of that, I wasn't sure. I thought, you know, should I do this or do it? Am I, you know, is this cultural pressure? And all those questions came up. But once I did it, oh my God, what a relief. I was so happy when I woke up from surgery. It's like that thing is gone. Whatever else, you know, and most of my experience since then has just been dealing with the pain post-operational, which is kind of extended for transgender people, I imagine, for female to male as well. But it's just like you're not done after surgery, and there are other things that have to be done, and it just goes on and on. But I am still just relieved and grateful and happy about it, very happy to be in my current
form. Yeah, you sound happy. So, and you've been here for me. Like, we're also Facebook friends, in case you didn't know.
Ah.
But I just wondered, because I just never heard anybody openly just say straight up, like, congratulations on that victory. And so that's why I felt the need to pull over in my car on the way to work and tell you that.
Well, good on you for being safe. Hey, thanks very much for calling in.
Hey, thank you.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. Been talking about the severity, the ongoing crisis of climate change, which will become more apparent to us as this year progresses. This week in Portland, we have some, you know, it is February, we have some snow in the forecast. Evidently, it's not going to stick. I didn't look at the polar map before I came in, but I have been looking at it at our previous snow events, and what I observed is that often it is far warmer far north of here than it was during those events. And what's happening is the instability of this change has affected the Arctic very disproportionately. And so we've had a winter in which the ice did not form early enough, continued melting well into December, which it absolutely should not have done. Incidents of prolonged 40 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit above what is normal for the Arctic has appeared. This has shoved masses of air all over the globe, and I don't know if it's the case today, but our previous snow event was caused by a mass of cold air from the Arctic that was shoved down unseasonally, untimely, and with great force. And so the know-nothings like to say, oh, it's snowing so much for global warming. Well, in that case, it was snowing because of global warming. Just a point. It seems silly I have to make that point after all these years, but apparently the social media forces of the corporate rights propaganda are very, very strong, much stronger than I would have guessed. And now we know, linked to powerful aspects of demagoguery such as xenophobia and racism. And now, unfortunately, dominating the news cycle every day. A sad situation, and also a clarion call to the barricades. If you care about life, if you care about the planet, if you care about your fellow human beings, to the barricades, this is the time. Time is 9:23 Pacific, and you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, also talking about transgenderism, and once again, I'll give you a pass if you have questions that you have not felt comfortable asking. I think now is the time, and I am the person to ask those questions. Go ahead. I won't hold it against you if you're genuinely curious, want to know what's going on with transgender people. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Alicia is on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
It's good to talk to you. So I kind of have, like, just a small thing to say and then a question, and this is all, like, kind of new to me. I've been educating myself a bit about, like, transgenderism and gender identity and these things, but it is new to me, so I just want to, like, kind of say that. So I'm a pretty young person. I'm 20 years old, and I have a one-year-old. And for me, going through the experience of pregnancy and childbirth was kind of like, initially it felt like that was what defined me as a woman. And now that I'm learning more about what gender identity means, I realize that those experiences, which are specific to female-bodied people, are not really defining experiences of gender. So I kind of just wanted to ask you what it means to you to be a woman.
What is it to be a woman? Well, that's a really interesting question. I guess it kind of depends on how the society defines it. The whole question has been linked to, you know, what rights are going to be granted to trans women. And so for a long time, I would say, well, I'm a woman and a woman's a woman. And but, you know, saying that and also realizing that, of course, it's not accurate. And, you know, and then I would hedge it and say, well, you know, I'm a different kind of critter that was born male and have always felt myself to be a woman. And but from a certain point of view, that was always there. So I can say, well, I've always been a woman. But certainly, you know, to state the obvious, I was not brought up with the extremely confining gender role that we assign women. And it's against gender roles. I give a lot of my thought, and I think that they are exaggerated and largely false. I do see differences between men and women, and I see a difference between myself and men. When I was, well, actually my whole life trying to pass as a man, men, I would say real men, if you like, could sniff me out. They just knew that I wasn't the same, and I wasn't the same. I have a different pattern of thinking and a different way of thinking of my body, whether I was acting in a masculine way or not. So there is a difference, and I am ill-equipped, I'm sorry to say, to define it, except that I am certain that there is a difference. And I'm also certain that the gender roles that we live are false. They are shackles. They should be dissolved in largest part. I mean, everyone should have the right to act the way they want, right? As long as they don't hurt someone else. So I'm not down on someone who wants to be a girly girl. That's just fine with me. But it does. It shouldn't be mandatory, should it? And I also think that due to pressures in the society, going back to, I would say, the election of Ronald Reagan, there's been tremendous pressure to roll back feminism. And that is to roll back humanism. That is confined people both on the feminine and masculine side of things. I see women deferring in speech, in posture, in action to men constantly. I see men expecting that. I see men feeling hurt if they do not see deferral in every way from a woman. This is sick, actually. I mean, but that's what we're used to. We're so used to it that I have begun to do it to great. I mean, heck, if I want to pass, I have to put on this this act. Like, I think that, you know, to exaggerate only a tiny bit, some guy just bloviating should be able to go on and on and on, like I'm doing right now. And, you know, whether he has a good point or not, just so I won't hurt his masculine feelings, I let that happen a lot more. Because I've found that if I don't, if I feel like passing in a social situation, if I just treat myself as an equal, that blows it, and I don't pass.
Yeah. Well, and too, I remember being in, like, when I was 15, I worked at a diner, and I had just so much of this experience of really feeling sexualized by the men who would come into the diner. And that just, what you just said reminded me of instances like that, where in addition to being a woman, also having the added social pressure of like class and being in a customer service position, there was so many times where I felt like I was just really not being true to myself. And like you just said, like giving in to men, pleasing men, giving them what they want. And also an element of fear there of like, what's going to happen to me if I don't give in this way. You know, I think there's this deep kind of fear that, that I just, what you said kind of had me touch on.
Yes, there's a price to pay. Ultimately, the price to pay is rape. That's the enforcement.
Exactly. Thank you for saying it, because honestly, I think I was afraid to say it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the elephant in the room, isn't it? And I don't feel like it's being addressed. I've put out, Women's Day is coming up, and I've put out a request to Susan Faludi. I'm hoping that she will be able to be on air here. We will see.
Oh, wow.
But I would very much like to hear what she has to say about the progress of feminism, or lack thereof, over the last couple of decades.
Uh-huh. Well, I definitely feel that there is this movement, this shift happening right now. I feel pulled into the tide of it, for sure. I think there are a lot of people having really important conversations, and I definitely want to thank you for being a part of KBOO and what you just have shared with all of us. And I know you're also talking about climate change today, and I definitely think that is an important thing that we need to be talking about. And I'm curious what you mentioned, some things that are happening in the headlines in the news today, some new discoveries, and I'm curious what you have to say, or if there are any projections on what these new developments could mean for us, how this is moving forward.
Well, the thing that impresses me lately is that this temperature anomaly in the Arctic over the winter is unprecedented, and no one really knows what it means for the coming year, although I think we can safely predict it means very powerful storms. Aside from that, what exactly is going to happen over the next several months? Well, it's an interesting question, but it shows that immediate emergency action needs to be taken globally. And the politicians that we have in place right now are a disaster in that regard. And so we're going to have to save ourselves, we're going to have to do something about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any thoughts on what solutions look like?
Thoughts on what? I'm sorry, on what looks like?
A solution?
I have ideas, and I don't have any idea whether they're good ideas. There are plans, not plans, but what would you say, projections, ideas coming out to increase the ice in the Arctic, and I very sadly think that probably will be necessary. And exactly how it's to be done and what the other consequences would be, I don't know. Gotten to the point of desperation is very sad. I think that, you know, speaking from a non-scientific and journalistic point of view, looking at this, I think that we actually have passed the threshold of self-accelerating global warming. So the human race will have to do something about the Arctic, and very soon. And what that will be, not sure exactly. I've seen proposals for throwing a great deal of moisture into the air to block the sun there. I've often mentioned that I think from the temperature anomaly on September 12th, 2001, that jet traffic blocks the sun during the day and holds in heat during night, so that should be considered.
That
would be so easy just to change jet traffic over the poles. In other words, not to have any over the pole at night, I think would have an effect, but I would like to see a study over that. Those are basically the sort of things that I've been seeing trying to research this issue.
Yeah. Interesting. I haven't heard about that idea about, you know, adding ice, which definitely, I mean, that sounds like weather control, which is an interesting, you know, area that is, I guess, an option to us. I'm definitely, I've read some studies talking about how the fact that the ocean has become so, I mean, basically just so polluted, so trashed, and also, like, I think it's oxidized, or it has too much carbon in it. I'm not a science person, but
it's too acidic. It doesn't have enough oxygen. Its temperature is raised. Yeah, that's a disaster.
Thank you. Yeah.
We are in a disaster, a global disaster. I guess that's the point I want to make.
Yeah.
So what do you think, though, about maybe some kind of plan to clean the oceans as maybe a... Because I feel like, you know, weather control is definitely something that maybe we will have to do, but do you think maybe there are some more regenerative options that would be better for us in the long term?
For the oceans?
For the ocean. Like, if we can stop fossil fuel, if we can switch our energy and then take care of the things that have been so trashed, you know, and maybe use something sort of more extreme like weather control in instances where it's absolutely needed.
Well, I guess that the question that keeps coming up is, what is we? And right now, we are dominated by a tiny elite, have great power over us, and we, by and large, not you and I perhaps, are in denial about that. And so nothing is going to change until that order is overthrown.
I see.
Although I do see some hope on the horizon that although the fossil fuel industry is bloviating constantly, the opposite. The fact is solar and wind have become cheaper and are set to become much cheaper, and so it won't be profitable, and it won't be practical. It won't be practical to burn fossil fuel going into the future because solar and wind are so much cheaper.
Oh wow, that's amazing!
Yeah, so they're about to get replaced, and they, you know, people like Tillerson and Exxon would like to squeeze out another decade or so of full blast hydrocarbon use. Because that would, you know, that would set them up and their families with billions of dollars, and that's what it's really about. And screw the globe; they don't care. They can build bunkers.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, thank you for having me on the air and talking with me today.
Thanks for your call. It was interesting. Number to call: 503-231-8187. Been talking climate change, and I've been talking about transgenderism. And as I've been saying, I will give you a pass if you have a question that you have felt a little uncomfortable to ask of a transgender person. Today, I will be happy to answer it. February 23rd, today, coming up this morning on KBOO at 10, Chris Andre, host Eric Ascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary at 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein at 11, Between the Covers welcomes Marnie Bates and her book Dial M for Murder, A Tale of Mayhem and Murder at Starbucks. And at 11:30, The Film Show welcomes artists and organizers from the Olin Social Justice Film Series and Cascade Festival of African Films, plus a look at the new micro-budget feature film Shut Up, Anthony. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the donate bar, which is quick and easy. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Daniel's on the air.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
I have a couple comments and a question about the media, politics, and private interests surrounding climate change.
All right.
So I work for multinational aid agencies, including the United Nations Development Program. I'm an engineer in the petroleum industry with a focus on biofuels, and I help to provide renewable energy systems for countries in the South Pacific, including Tuvalu and Kiribati, which will be flooded as the oceans rise.
Yes.
I recently toured islands in the South Pacific that were devastated by Tropical Cyclone Winston, which was the second most powerful storm ever recorded. And I witnessed even concrete buildings being blown apart by the winds and waves of Tropical Cyclone Winston. I also speak Russian and have 5 years of Russian language training, and I've been to Russia and Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to address the question of why did Russia support Trump's election? And I'd like to point out that climate change is good for Russia and good for the oligarchs, including the super wealthy that took over after the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah, they're running those super tankers out of Sakhalin Island. And, you know, if the less ice there is, the easier and more profitable it is for them and for Exxon.
That's correct. It was the communist apparatchiks that took over after the fall of the Soviet Union when they kind of took over people's shares for the state-owned enterprises, including the petroleum industry. And so now Russia is controlled by hyper-wealthy oligarchs, a lot like Tillerson and the head of Exxon. These guys are supranational. They don't have loyalty to any particular country. They're in it for themselves. And Trump pretty much views the presidency as a business opportunity for him and his buddies. So their approach to climate change is not irrational. That is, climate change denial is not irrational from their perspective.
True enough.
Because climate change is good for Russia. It'll open up the steppe, which is frozen, and it'll open up the Arctic to shipping, and they're going to make a huge amount of money. Russia is the largest country on Earth. It covers 11 time zones, which is mostly frozen, and has huge natural mineral resources, which have not yet been discovered. And so for them, climate change denial is not just like some fantasy that, like, because they're scientifically illiterate. Their policy is to speed up climate change. But they can't admit it, of course, and so they have to bury the facts and just kind of put off the political debate.
Well, this is true. You talk about Tuvalu going underwater, but there's also, as you know, projections that show that the tropics could have many more superheated events, killing events, essentially, under advancing climate change. And so what we're looking at is genociding everyone from the Tropic of Cancer on down.
That's correct. The best explanation I heard was on KABU, on alternative radio, when it was either Barsamian or Parente was said, if you look at the policy and it appears to be irrational, this is, look at the larger picture. He says, they will gladly spend $1 million of your money to make $1,000 for themselves.
That is so true. I mean, your money is no object. That's the way Michael Parente phrases it. And I like your analysis there. And it's exactly the sort of analysis that I've tried to promote, to embrace complexity, look at the big picture, to get as much information as you can, and ask yourself, why are these things actually being done and who benefits?
Yeah. So it sums to, they will gladly trash the planet to make $1 billion for themselves.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and they're building the bunkers now. Hey, thanks very much for your call. 503-231-8187. Talking climate change, talking about the emergency, the ongoing current emergency of climate change, the severity, the disaster that we face in the coming months. And also giving you a pass on those transgender questions you always wanted to ask. As long as there are actual questions, go ahead and call in and ask. 503-231-8187. And Mike is on the air.
Hey, thanks, Teresa. I'm an old kind of Earth firster, so I'm kind of in that reflective phase, and I've been way into symbology and kind of mental metaphors that people put together. One of the things about life that I really kind of put together is I feel like a spot in the time-space continuum, and I feel like if everybody got a hold of that minuteness of our lifetime and stuff like that, they would be better off. And as far as like sexuality is concerned and stuff like that, I kind of have really resonated with kind of the quadrant model, where you have a black male and he's kind of ruled by Mars, and he's very pragmatic and non-emotional, and then you've got the white male, which is Pan and Bacchus and wine and happiness and all that kind of growing things and stuff. And then you've got the white and the dark female, which is, the black female, which is occult and Kali and birth and death and all of these kind of symbols that kind of rule into that, dark female. And then you've got your light female, which is angels and happiness and gentleness and all of those kinds of things that are wrapped up in it. And
in this model, when you say black and white, are you talking African and European, or are you talking more abstractly?
Well, in more abstractly, and even kind of around the world, all of these cultures are, kind of all resonate.
If it's African and European, it would be obvious nonsense, but go ahead.
But anyway, if you find yourself a spot within, we're all being ruled by all four of these quadrants. You know, all of these aspects are within us, you know. But we're one spot within that quadrant. And so that means that we each occupy a kind of a unique spot within that quadrant. You know, there's similarities between groups and stuff like that, and they resonate sometimes with the similarities, or sometimes they resonate with the anti-similarities, you know, the complete opposites.
So you have this sort of bifurcated yin-yang philosophy going on. Could you apply it to global climate change or to transgenderism?
Global climate change, you know, I think we're also in a spot of time, and I'm not really sure we're going to do anything about it. You know, I mean, I think the politics are kind of all moving in one direction, and my friend predicts a war with Iran that's kind of already in the works, and it's already kind of starting to move politics around, and climate shift, people won't get it. They just won't get it fast enough for that. So people have to community is the only solution. You know, community is the only solution of this, and there's going to be massive die-offs and, you know, ice ages and all that kind of stuff within our next seven generations.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in with your opinion. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Been talking climate change, and I am giving you a pass today if you have questions that you might not normally ask or feel comfortable to ask of a transgender person, because Donald Trump and Trump administration, and I'm sure Vice President Pence, have pulled the rug out from transgender kids, because that's a nice, easy, and relatively helpless target. They don't have power. But the Trump administration can gain power over boneheaded bigots by encouraging their hatred of them. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Joe is on the air.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Last night I was watching Channel 8 News. The weather guy was on there, and he was showing a schematic of what it looks like where the old ice flows were, well, where the ice, basically the ice polar cap, I guess that's the word I was looking for, the polar ice cap, how it has shrunk, and even right now where it's smaller now than it normally is, even in some summers in the past. So during the wintertime, it's smaller, and so the polar ice cap is going away quickly. So these people that say there's no climate change, I'd like to see them take a look at the polar ice cap over a period of years. And as a matter of fact, I saw a documentary on TV about this. The glacier, the main glacier that feeds the Ganges River over in South East Asia, in north of India, there were some explorers that went there, and they went up the Ganges River to where the glacier was. They installed a big, it's like a big 6x6 or 8x8 inch post in the ground with a plaque on it commemorating. They did that back in the late 40s or early 50s. Now that the glacier has receded, approximately, if I remember right, it was like almost 2 miles or something like that. They went up to the base of the glacier, and then they panned down to where that they put a flag on that post, and then they zoomed in on it, and it was quite a hell of a distance, and that's only in, 60 years or thereabouts? So the glacier for the Ganges River has, you know, receded far more than my hairline, as a matter of fact, you know? So it's just crazy when people say there's no climate change, and I'm no woodsy weirdo environmentalist, but the point of it is we got to quit crapping in our own nest. But that's all I wanted to say. But, hey, thanks thanks for the show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. All right, been talking climate change. Scientists have found an equation to demonstrate the impact of human activity on climate change from E360 Digest out of Yale University. Humans are changing the climate 170 times faster than natural forces, according to a new study published in the peer-reviewed journal, the Anthropocene Review. The research is the first mathematical equations to compare the impact of human activity on current climate to naturally occurring changes. For 4 billion plus years, astronomical and geophysical factors such as solar heat output, volcanic eruptions, and they don't say it here, but orbital shape were the dominating influences on Earth's climate. And that's argued by study authors Owen Gaffney and Will Steffen from Stockholm University and Australian National University, respectively. But over the past six decades, human activities like the burning of fossil fuels and deforestation have driven exceptionally rapid rates of change. And the point I am making is that this year, the disasters are going to get worse. The storms are going to get worse. And we don't know what's going to happen with this. As a previous caller mentioned, this wild, exceptional, never seen before, too long melting, too little ice, 40 degrees above normal disaster situation at the North Pole. As I started off the show, there's also melting at the South Pole in Antarctica right now, and a glacier, not a glacier, but an iceberg the size of Los Angeles is getting ready to break off and float free, thereby loosening the Larsen C Glacier. That glacier is on land and will raise sea levels as it flows. As you've heard on previous shows here, there is water undercutting, warmer water is undercutting the glaciers, and this is causing them to move faster. We are in the midst of a disaster. Question is what to do. Or whether you're even aware of how bad it is. I guess that's the point of doing the news. You're not supposed to know. First, for democratic action, for informed participation. You have to be informed. That's what KBOO Radio is about. You can contribute at KBOO.fm. I hope that you do, because it's our small contributor model that allows us to do truth-telling on a consistent basis. Number to call, 503-231-8187. PJ's on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty well, thank you.
Good. I have a direct question. I hope it's not offensive to you. I wondered, how do you feel? Do you feel comfortable as a transgendered person in our society today? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
Oh, hell no. Because so many people are violently opposed. I, until last year, I had a job as a public servant, a bus driver, and I discovered any time that I was red, that there was a chance of people becoming openly offensive and even threatening violence or even actually perpetrating violence against me. So I had to adjust to that, and it was a tremendous stress for me. So no, it's not safe being trans, and especially after Trump taking office. We can see from the news stories that are coming out that it's even less safe to be transgender. Certainly it's safer for me being white. Black transgender and other transgender women of color have a much worse rate of violence directed against them. I just try to deal with the violence. I try to be cautious. I try to anticipate what's happening in my life and where I'm at and what I'm doing. Let me see how I can phrase this. I considered walking my dog around the park late at night near my place. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly quiet park. There's a few homeless folks sadly sleeping by the trees there, but they're quite kind and gentle people. I decided not to because I was concerned that a police cruiser might come by, and I know from direct experience how aggressive certain members of the Portland Police Force can be against transgender people. I was afraid of the cops for being trans, mm-hmm. and that's the life that I live.
You know, I'm really sorry to hear that, and I take that personally. I know it's not directed at me personally, but I want to know what I can do to make some changes. What can other individuals do? Because I'm Caucasian, and I don't like what I'm seeing, and I feel responsible in some way. And so how can we start bridging the gaps here in our society?
Well, right now, the answer is not too hard. One of the biggest barriers to taking political power from the grassroots is the fact that we are divided and we are conquered. So you are sympathetic to the plight of your human beings. I would say take some active support of Black Lives Matter. This is the time to do it. It's a powerful intersectional thing to do. More power to them means more power to the human race. So that's one place to start. And I'll just leave it at that. Why get complex with it? Look up Black Lives Matter, maybe send them a few dollars, or show up according to their terms at a rally.
Well, you know, I'm already involved in that sort of thing, but, you know...
Well, there you go. You're doing it.
In you as an individual, how can, and other transgendered people, how can I make a difference as an individual?
Just simply by talking about it, sharing your knowledge, reducing fear. Because there are people who are socialized by certain social media, certain radio programs, who believe that all transgender people are perverts who wish to attack their children, and they'll believe that until they hear otherwise.
So in other words, we have to develop the own gumption within ourselves and take the risk and get out there and speak our minds, and whatever comes, comes.
Yeah, or write. Yeah, and social media helps in this case, too.
Okay. Thanks so much, and I really appreciate your being so open.
Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Been talking about the disaster of climate change as we currently experience it, and as we will over the next few months, the disaster that we will face and what the heck we're going to do about it. Also, giving you a pass on your questions about transgenderism, and Theodore is on the air.
Yeah, I want to totally disagree with you on both points. Number one, I don't know where you're from, but weather happens here. And you've got callers that are saying people are scientifically illiterate. Well, I happen to have a science degree, and I've got I work for a company that does pretty hardcore science stuff. And
what's
I know
your science
a little
degree?
Bit about science. And there are people with Nobel prizes in physics that disagree with you.
What's your science degree?
I'm not going to go into it.
Well, then I can't really take it seriously. And which Nobel laureates are you referring to?
I don't know the guy's name.
That's because there aren't any Nobel laureates who oppose global climate
change.
Where's
your email? I'll send it to you.
You can contact me through KBOO.FM.
Listen, you people are frauds. You don't even know you've got an XY chromosome. You know nothing, and you shouldn't be believed because you're fools.
What's your basis for saying that?
Because you got an XY chromosome, and you can't figure it out.
Are you unfamiliar with the term epigenetic?
I know about it, yeah.
Then why are you saying that?
It doesn't have anything to do with it.
We were having a discussion, or perhaps you just tuned in. We were talking about diethylstilbestrol and its capacity to mutate the human body.
And you don't know anything. And for the mouth breathers out there that love K-Boo, they suck it up. And I'm telling you, you're fools. You don't know.
Well, you've made that point that you believe that we are fools. So far, you have not backed up your arguments. You have been very loud. I would assume that you're the sort of person who depends on intimidation to believe that you've made your point well. But you're not capable of intimidating the KBOO audience, so I would suggest that you instead back up your argument with facts.
If you want to have a debate, I will publicly debate you.
Oh, that's excellent. And where will that be?
Let's do it at KBOO Studios.
What's your name?
Theodore.
And you will reveal your science degree?
Yes.
What's your science degree?
I will at the debate.
No deal.
Okay, well, in other words, you don't want to debate. You don't want to debate it. What's your science degree?
I don't have a science degree.
Oh, there you go. I got one from an accredited university, pal.
What's your science degree?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, I've quite had enough of your yelling. And I do believe that you would be better served by reading more. Number to call, 503-231. Oops, I'm out of time. All right, you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, the transgender terror. And coming up, we've got Air Cascadia and more programming that I think that you will enjoy and find edifying. You've been listening to KBOO on 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia, and on KBOO 90.7 and KBOO.FM on the World Wide Web. And in that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, community radio for Portland. We're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints for today with your host, Dennis Bernstein. Then at 11 today, join us for Between the Covers. Today, welcoming Marnie Bates, talking about her book, Dial M for Murder, A Tale of Mayhem and Murder at Starbucks. And at 11:30, The Film Show welcomes artists and organizers from the All-In Social Justice Film Series and the Cascade Festival of African Films, plus a look at the new micro-budget feature film, Shut Up, Anthony. That's all coming up right after Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the August Wilson Monologue Competition Regional Finals on Monday, February 25th at 7 p.m. at the Newmark Theater in Portland. 12 Portland area high school students will perform monologues from August Wilson's 10-play American Century Cycle, and two will be selected to go to the national competition. There will also be a DJ spinning blues, jazz, R&B, and hip-hop. Again, that's the August Wilson Monologue Competition Regional Finals on Monday, February 25th at 7 p.m. at the Newmark Theater, 1111 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 23rd, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland,